Hello and welcome to the New York State GIS Association and Education Committee inaugural podcast. That's a mouthful. I'm Paula Lazarus, and I'm going to be joined today by our first guest in a series of podcasts highlighting the different things that people do in the world with GIS, from the educational sphere to the workspace, and in all ways that people not only work in GIS, but also with GIS, depending on their work lives. So today, I am being joined by Jinzhou Wen, who works for the New York City Educational Development Corporation and is also on the board of the New York State GIS Association and GISMO in New York, as well as at several colleges in the area. And she will fill you in. She's a big supporter of many CUNY programs. And she's been doing fascinating work both in her professional life and as an extension of that in outreach to students in our city. So welcome, Jin.
Thank you, Paula. It's an honor and delighted to be on your inaugural podcast. And hello, audience out there. This is lots of fun, I hope. I hope you enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed it.
Perhaps you can start by giving us a little bit about your background and how you ended up where you are and how GIS fits in the mix, because you don't have necessarily a quote unquote traditional background for GIS.
Yes. So my background, I have a undergraduate in architecture. I have a Bachelor of Architecture from Pratt, and then I got my Master in Urban Planning from Hunter College up CUNY, yay. And from there, I'm very much a physical planner. And I think we had this discussion before. I think GIS really is used in multiple disciplines, and actually planning has traditionally been a big user, if you want to call it that way, for GIS. So when I joined right after grad school for the Economic Development Corporation, NYC EDC, I was the youngest staff in the planning department. And so all the technology things came on my way. And so after about a year and a half, it was obvious to the entire IT department that there's lots of need for support in that area. So I actually moved from planning to the IT world at EDC. And from there, I am delighted to say, I'm proud to say, I'm the founding director at a fairly young age for a GIS team at EDC. Yeah, team of one back then, and slowly grew. And now, a couple of decades later, I have a small team within IT pillar. That has since incorporated multimedia into our services, and also in the last 5-6 years, even more perhaps, web maps. So which we allow our users, our clients, our stakeholders to really do some studies themselves for those who are less familiar with GIS, but understand the power of geospatial data and visualization. So that is my short, brief, 30, is it more than a minute? 3-minute pitch on the elevator.
So I wonder, actually, in you telling me this, whether your office within the
EDC
collaborated or collaborates regularly with the New York Open GIS Day. Last year, there were some amazing presentations that I could see perhaps might have initiated in your office, even if I am unaware of whether they did or not.
Not Bites of the Big Apple, what is that? Open Data, way back when, I think is more than the 10 years now, that did initiate from EDC as a as we get folks to not just talk about geospatial data, just open data in general. As a matter of fact, we recorded the first session with the winners, and actually the winner continued to be, I think they are the open data, the name, I have to get back to you on that. They continue to support all the open data for New York City. From EDC standpoint, what I do is very much internal. So I help the internal stakeholder understand and kind of frame their question and make sure it has they have done their homework before they head out for more. So I feel like I see myself here as in the ideation stage, or to support a question they have before they go out to the public. So we are, for my team, is very much about internal support first.
And I imagine that also means that aside from knowing what kinds of things GIS can do for your clients, you also have to be able to have a dialogue with them about their needs and about the capacities of the programs to produce whatever it is that they're asking, right? Helping them understand what they can do with this.
Absolutely. So I go back to the question, I mean, the statement of GIS as a tool. It is a profession, but it is a tool that's used differently by different disciplines. So at EDC, we have a capital team, we have programmatic team, a financial support team that's on the programmatic side. We also have asset management, and we have the real estate transactional team. Each of them look at GIS in a very different way. From you think about it from a capital or maintenance team, and we would support a waterfront for the city of New York. We take bathymetry. You can imagine that is like a raster. That's one aspect of it. For our real estate team, we talk about what are your appraisals. What are the comp sales around the area? What is the value of something? And we talk about, if we think about the initiatives or programs, we look at the trends. Is it life science that's happening? Where are they happening? And why are they happening there in that particular space? And then for our asset management team, if we talk about renting out to tenants, you have to think about where they're coming from. Again, more trends. So there is the physical description of the space, the soils, the land, the seas, and then there's the people who live on it. So there, of course, there's true to GIS, there are many layers to what I get to do. And so everything at the end of the day, turns one single theme is economic development. How does it help bolster the financial health or the economic health of the city of New York?
Have you been including climate change in that recently?
We have. So if you look at, there's two projects. If you look at, it's one in Coney Island, and one is in the downtown. For those of us who've been in New York for decades or even more, Seaport, the sustainability report. And yes, I think they're actually building around that.
Mm-hmm. Very important projects. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you also do some very interesting projects on your own as research projects, either through Gizmo or through other collaborating with other folks in schools and students. Maybe you can tell us something about those projects.
Well, thank you for highlighting that, Paula. So the first one I'll just do briefly, shining a little bit of life on myself, and thank you for contributing to that talk I gave as part of Gizmo's Heritage Celebration Month throughout this for the year 2020. The one you're giving me space to speak is for is what I call the color line, Green Book color line, where I mapped with a colleague, mapped all the businesses in New York City on the Green Book.
Can you tell us what the Green Book is?
Absolutely. It first appeared in the 1930s as a way for African-Americans to use and travel around around the East Coast. And then ultimately by the 60s, you went international, where to stay, where to eat, and where even put gas in your car in order to safely travel across the country. For my take, I was taking the idea of taking all the businesses and also overlapping another layering on top with the redlining effort way back when. And won't you know it, it's exactly on top of the red line area.
That's a little distressing.
Yes, it is. But what is interesting, over time by the 60s, all of a sudden you see Copacabana, because I think, again, the power of the African-American, the buying power came through, right? So it's like, you know what? I'll take your money. It's green. So they, too, start to advertise in the book. And that became more travel, more inclusive in a funny way, businesses in New York City. So I continue to think about what does that mean for the region. And you gave some really great ideas. And I'm looking forward to working with some high school students, perhaps, to help me do a further research of college students, which leads me to the next part of my passion projects, is really working with high school and college students through Gizmo, and also with partnering with the New York State GIS Association. We often highlight our students' GIS work within New York City. The last presentation was done by Lehman College, showcasing their master in GISC, right? And the work they've done, and prompted some really wonderful discussion about plants and the impact of plants as indicators for water availability, all those wonderful things that you would never think about outside of my little bubble of New York City. And going towards more a younger crowd, even younger crowd for the high schoolers, I do work very closely with the architecture team at the High School of Art and Design, where for the past at least 10 years, I have assisted and supported the capstone study for the architecture team, and give them, beyond the designing a kitchen or a house or a high rise building, but rather take them to the more macro scale of urban planning and urban design. Even the sense of your place and your architecture in space. They need to understand what zone, not just building codes, but zoning and also other plans. And again, also climate change, how everything you built affects the not just the site you're on, the people who live there, but your neighbors, your block, your neighborhood and the city and beyond. So
I can see we're trying to introduce them to things like scene or 3D modeling would also be really important for architecture students to get a sense of that, of where shadows fall or how they affect neighborhoods, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So I think in architecture school, you often talked about shadows, that's fine. But folks forget the importance of the network, such as transportation. Transportation and land use has plenty to do with each other. And then you can imagine, we won't quite talk about it, it's sense as a negative word, but gentrification. Anytime you improve anything, but you need to understand your impact. It's how your impact can be good or bad. And the question is, how inclusive do you want your impact to be? So these are lessons we want to impart on our future voters and young citizens as soon as possible. That's just my plug for, let's get civics back into our education system.
No, actually, I think it is very important in terms of teaching that whatever the tools are that you are helping your students understand and use, whatever their field, is that they also begin to think about the greater impact or the impact down the road of something that they're designing, whether you're talking about AI or you're talking about GIS. It's important that you are considering not just that this is a cool new thing that I invented, but rather what could be the potential downsides of your new social media app or whatever it is that you happen to be developing. So I actually think that's a very important thing to expose students to early, because the sooner they begin to think that way, then the broader the discussions as they move up through their education.
Yes, and in addition to understanding your true entitlement and your privilege, one should also understand how to read data. And data do not lie, but how you consume it by other, how other people feed you the data can be misleading. It's like food. Food is great, but how they cook it and make you eat it is a different, is the influence. Let's put it that way, I suppose. And it is also very important for me. And you mentioned AI, because that is the next question about how do we start to, and there will be amazing number of data points coming in, and people need to understand where it's coming from and what it's doing and how it's going to be ingested by each one of us.
Right. The big project, and there's more and more of it integrated into GIS these days in terms of automated learning of processes for big data sets and how, what gets included or excluded. The machine doesn't decide that on some level. It's the person who's designing the parameters. And so thinking about those parameters is ever more important if you don't want to exclude whole sectors of the population or of the natural world, or take your choice there. So it's an important thing to think about. I want to follow up on your brief mention of the lecture series that Gizmo has had all last year. Hopefully it's continuing. Those have been open Zoom lectures, which have been very informative and interesting on a wide variety of topics. And it is our hope on the Education Committee for New York State GIS that the other regional groups who may also be offering similar kinds of events will consider sharing those links with the committee so that we can make those sets of materials available to a wider audience, so that interested students, grad students, undergrads, or faculty wondering what people are working on around the state can see what kinds of projects people are doing and perhaps get involved on different levels. We're hoping to speak with colleagues up in Syracuse who are doing wonderful projects with secondary ed students. And so we will look around for different kinds of collaborations in our future podcasts. In the meantime, do you have any other news you want to share with us, perhaps upcoming events from either any of the organizations that you work with that we should know about?
Well, I believe later on this month, in October 25th or 24th, just go on gizmonyc.org for a calendar. We will have a presentation from City Planning's Population Division on the new census. I think that should be very, very interesting. By all your listeners, because it's going to be a doozy, the 2020 census. lots of changes, lots of adjustment. I think we talked about, I wonder if anyone's going to mention the question of race and ethnicity. Well, that's a whole new different topic we can touch on another time. But I hope folks will check out our website and check out the dates. And to in response to question about sharing, with a few exceptions, all our presentations are recorded and made available on demand at any time. Again, it's not just on gismonyc.org. You can go in there and poke around and check out our previous recordings.
So thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate all the things that you have shared with us. And I hope that this will be the first of many interesting conversations with people around the New York area who work with and who are GIS professionals. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you. Take care.